I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder. Make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
So the weight disparity between Ric Flair's sons-in-law.
Yeah, that's a.
How do you do that? Can you just somehow get? Can we get a happy medium here, guys?
Yeah, he. I bet Flair jokes about that. Actually, that sounds like something he'd joke about.
I gotta tell you, Conrad, you got the weight disparity between the two of you. I mean, the son drowning compared to you, he's going to jump around in the shower to get wet. Woo! I don't know. I've got Cornette's Joe Myler joke book working on me right now. That's what I've got.
No.
How did I not know that Barry O was Cowboy Bob Orton's brother? How did I not know that?
You're asking somebody who also doesn't know. So
I didn't know that. I didn't know that Barry O was part of the Orton family.
And I didn't know is he? He's like a cousin or something?
No, it's Barry. It's Randy.
You say his brother?
Yeah, it's Cowboy Bob Orton's brother, Randy's uncle. And he just died. Of course, that was the story this weekend. He was involved with all that sex scandal stuff back in the early 90s. And he appeared on Donahue and at least one face-to-face confrontation with Vincent Kennedy McMahon. This was the beginning of Vince's business going not well for a while, because this is around the time of the Zahorian trial and all that shit, right?
Right.
There's the Barry. Let me look at the Barry Orton statement so I can make sure that I got my my facts correct about this. Yes, go ahead.
I'm just sitting here thinking. I remember the Barry O, of course, but I was always. Maybe I'm just making this up because it's so late. But I thought his last name was Orwell, or he went by Orwell.
Maybe so, but
Barry Orwell.
He was that guy. I was really sad.
I mean, I still didn't know anything about Orton.
I was really sad to hear about the death of Barry Orton on Friday night. Orton was a good wrestler who never really got the chance to show what he could do nationally, but he did show it in Calgary in 1987 as the Zodiac. Mike Tenay credited him for putting his Wrestling Insiders radio show on the map in 1992. He had his demons, but he was always very careful in speaking so people wouldn't take things out of context in a situation where people did anyway, such as Geraldo Rivera. And I know he was very upset at them trying to convey a different story from the story he actually told them when it came to his claims regarding Terry Garvin, implying that it was in 1992 that it was recent in WWF when he made it clear it was 1979 in the Amarillo territory. So okay. Orton was dreadful during that. And that reminds me, because I've been seeing some of the old Dark Side of the Rings. They're doing remixes on the Dark Side of the Rings coming up. It's called Dark Side of the Confidential.
Okay. And they got commentary and stuff on it.
The heavier Flair son-in-law is going to be a part of that. The richer, filthy rich, stinking.
Do we know this for sure? Do we know this about the heavier part? Are we confident in that?
If I can't look at Conrad and see that he's 300 pounds heavier than Andrade, then I'm fucking Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder and Helen Keller and anybody else you want to throw in there, pal. If
okay,
I can do
it's
that.
Clarifying.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
clarifying.
If you can't, that's the eye test, you know, college football with the eye test.
Yes.
There he was. Barry Orton passing away at the age of 62.
His name was
Randall Barry Orton, the uncle of Randy Orton, the son of Bob Orton Sr., the brother of Cowboy Bob Orton. He wrestled under the names Barry Orton, Barry Orton, B-E-R-R-Y, such as in Barry Oakley from the Allman Brothers band. Barry O, Superstar Barry O in the Masked Zodiac, was best known in wrestling in 1991 and 1992 for being the media spotlight, talking about issues in pro wrestling, and claiming that Terry Garvin, who at the time worked in talent relations, with Pat Patterson, tried to sexually harass him on a car ride while he was a teenager breaking into the territory in Amarillo in the late 70s. This led to appearances like Phil Donahue, Larry King, and Geraldo Rivera, including two confrontations with Vince McMahon, who tried to discredit him on the air, noting that he had served time in prison for being involved in an auto accident where someone had died and was writing a book. Garvin and Mel Phillips had been let go by McMahon shortly before the show aired, and Patterson resigned. See, that was the shame of all that was that Pat Patterson got slurred in that. And he was not involved with any of that stuff. And it was bad that he kind of got, even to the end of his life, was dragged down and kind of associated, guilt by association with that entire situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is too bad, man.
But to finish the thought about going back and watching some of the old Dark Side of the Rings, particularly the one about Benoit, just Nancy Grace was so terrible during that entire situation.
I don't remember watching her during that for some reason.
It was so bad. It was all roid rage and all this other shit. And it was just so bad about that whole thing. And
Nancy Grace is just like most of those other people like that. They don't know anything about wrestling. They just, you know, associate wrestling and steroids and, you know, goofy people. That's all they know.
It says here Barry O is one of the first
stereotypes.
Barry O was one of the first wrestlers to befriend Tom Cole, who passed away recently and had claimed Phillips came on to him when he was a teenager working for the ring crew, which Phillips was the supervisor of. Orton foiled McMahon's attempt for a Perry Mason-like moment on the Donahue show as McMahon had planted Cole, who had just secretly settled out of court in the days leading up to the show, in the audience at the show with Linda McMahon and Miss Elizabeth. If his name was mentioned by the
Mason.
He wanted a Perry Mason-like moment. Cole was then to say how the panel members who made claims about McMahon were lying, that he was Tom Cole. Orton, in the green room, noted that Cole had become incommunicado with him for a few days and had an intuition something funny was up, and told others on the show not to mention Cole's name on the air. That largely ended Orton's wrestling career at the age of 33. He was a good in-ring performer and strong talker who was a headliner in 1987 in Stampede Wrestling Under the Mask as the Zodiac. Wasn't that the name of the stupid character that Brutus the Barber Beefcake was in WCW? Wasn't he the Zodiac or something like that?
He
had so many bad gimmicks in WCW, including Booty Man and all that shit.
Yeah,
remember the Booty Man?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Booty Man was so dreadful. Zodiac and Jason, the Terrible, it says, wrestled all the top baby faces in the promotion, including Owen Hart, as well as the team of Bad Company. That was Bruce Hart and Brian Pillman, who went by the name of Bad Company with two Ds at one point in time. And future Hall of Famer, Senator and Cabinet Member Hiroshi Hase, and future legend Jushin Thunder Liger as Fuji Yamada. He worked two stints in WWF, both as a prelim wrestler and television enhancement talent as Barry O. He worked 85 and 86 after spending time in prison, returned in 90 and 91 in a similar role. As a wrestler, he held the America's Tag Team Championship at the age of 19, teaming with Hector Guerrero and forming a tag team with his brother Bob, held the Southeastern Tag Team Championship with the Poffo family's ICW promotion. God damn that ICW promotion. That's what they should make a movie out of. That ICW, that thing was wild as shit, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of – I think that flies under the radar a little bit amongst the wrestling world.
Like
trivia and stuff.
If you were a fan of, you know, of the Fuller's Southeast Championship Wrestling, then you know about it. Or if you were a fan of wrestling, you know about it. Or of Memphis wrestling, you know about it. But there's, you know, there's so much shit that went on. And then allegedly, the idea behind that was that it was bankrolled. So to get those guys out of Knoxville after they fucked over the Welch family and all that stuff, to get them to Kentucky. And then Angelo as the miser, and Angelo was just this crazy-ass guy who was supposedly cheap, but then he had stacks of cash in the back of his car and shit. And, of course, it was like the first territory where Randy Orton was really starring. And then they do the invasion angle for real. It was like an outlaw promotion with Memphis, and some of those guys in Memphis were going to beat the shit out of the guys in ICW because they were fucking with them and stuff.
Yeah.
And then eventually when it went, when that thing went all the hell, they finally ended up doing the real program between Randy Savage and Jerry Lawler. And it, to me, that whole thing is that's the movie that should be done right there.
Oh yeah. No, I swear. I mean, you could really say that about, I don't know. I won't say a lot, but you could, there's several, you could say that about not just them, but I agree. Yeah, they should probably do something like that, actually, because there's so many named people in there that people would know, you know?
That shit was crazy. Plus, if you were running in some of those small towns in Kentucky, all the heel heat you would get from people trying to stab you and shit.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine, man.
Places like Harlan and places like that. And then, you know, in Kentucky, they're so crazy for basketball. They would have some of those gymnasiums that would have – you could seat thousands of people, and they could make good money on that shit. And they did. You know, Ron Fuller ran up there all the time and shit, and it was insanity.
But yeah, they should do that. Kentucky, West Virginia, Tennessee, all, you know, it's
it was insane.
Parts of North Carolina, South Carolina, I mean, it's all kind of the same.
Absolutely. It says here that Mr. Orton also had a run as Jody Hamilton's partner in a remake of The Masked Assassins in the Jim Crockett promotion. So this would have probably been after Hercules Hernandez had moved on from the gimmick. Interesting.
Now, hold on a second. Hercules Hernandez.
He was one of the assassins. He was like one of the assassins with Jody Hamilton.
They didn't do a dark side. Did they do a dark side on him? Dark side of the ring on him?
Not yet.
I didn't think so. But I forgot all about him, man. That'd be a good one for sure.
That would be fantastic because he had a lot of good shit going on there. Died in 2004. Part of the Heenan family. Power and Glory. You could do a lot of stuff with
Power and Glory. Yeah. That was Tom Zink, or was it? What Tom Zink was it? It was
Tom Zink. No, Hercules turned heel alongside Paul Roma.
Paul Roma. That's right. I knew it. I kind of get him and Zink mixed up. I don't know why. I don't know why I would do that.
I don't either. They were managed by the Slickster. They had a high-profile feud with the Rockers, defeating them at SummerSlam, and challenged the tag team champions, the Hart Foundation. Interesting. Hercules Hernandez is one of the assassins. As you allude to, for people who are watching, the other big story is Andrade was decided to go ahead and leave. He asked for his release from World Wrestling Entertainment, and they have been kind enough to grant him that and wished him well in his future endeavors.
They didn't dilly-dally, did they?
No. But the real question is you wonder how this is going to affect Charlotte and her future and all that stuff, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was talking to somebody earlier, and I was like, you know, they made a good point. It's like that had everything to do with Charlotte Flair, that decision made so quickly. So it's in a way it's ironic because – she's so big. they let her boyfriend go early. You know, I mean, that's just weird. But you know,
they didn't keep him hanging on, let him job out for a while. Didn't let him do opening matches for the pay per views and shit like that.
Yeah, I know. God, but it kind of makes you wonder how much longer is Charlotte going to be hanging around? Is she ink some big long deal with them, or are they tied so tight that they're not inseparable?
I find it very hard to believe they would ever let her go on any level. Because if you're there and you worry about, hey, if we let this person go, then Tony Khan's going to sign him up. You know, you can change your women's division at AEW real quick by signing a Charlotte Flair. That would change things real quick.
Yeah. Well, nothing's beyond, you know, comprehension right now as far as something like that. It'd be kind of odd, maybe, but I wouldn't totally surprise, especially at this point, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, with Andrade taking off, I mean, it's just kind of, we saw, you know, what happened with Mox and Renee.
Right.
I mean, she stuck around for a while. I know Renee and Charlotte Flair, so, you know.
Oh, it's
not really the same, but
But Renee was a big part of what they did, and she was a very popular person. I mean, as opposed to our friend Charlie Caruso, apparently has seen her final day in World Wrestling Entertainment. Have you been following this?
I just sort of. I don't know the back scene. Something about somebody, her and somebody in the back having a beef, one of the boys or one of the girls or some of the boys and some of the girls.
I think she was making some of the boys wait for their interviews. And Randy Orton and Sheamus were the two that were not upset about it. Word got back to it with McMahon, and then her name became Mud. And I feel like it was time for her to move on anyway. And she's been doing this.
I missed something there.
She was making the boys wait for some interviews.
Like she wasn't showing up. Yeah,
she was. They were there, and then she wasn't, and then she would kind of stroll in, and this became a thing.
You don't think she's getting a little too big for her skirt, do you?
Well, there's always that, but she's been doing this stuff with ESPN. I personally feel like where she belongs and where she could end up, and I'm not at all her agent or anything of that like that. But she's been doing this stuff with ESPN. I feel like Joy Taylor may be getting too big for the Colin Cowherd show, and I feel like Charlie would be perfect for that show to do that kind of role, do the news updates and shit like that.
Yeah,
and she was supposedly great. Let's read the Charlie Caruso story.
But you know, the silver lining to that is Kayla gets more recognition now.
Kayla does move up, but she needs to. Dave Meltzer said, I heard she was fired. Then other people reported she's just not going to be used. And then they're waiting for a contract to be out, as quoted by WrestlingNews.co, which I don't know which one is accurate. She had too much heat with too many different people, and that was the story. That's why the new guy was bought in to replace her. Meltzer also pointed out Caruso is familiar with Tony Khan. There's a chance she could move to All Elite Wrestling, although she might have to wait out a 90-day non-compete clause in her deal with WWE. Let's count it down. If her deal, she hasn't been used since February 22nd. If the deal is out, let's just say at the end of this month, all of April, all of May, all of June, she can be ready to go July 1st, allegedly.
Yeah.
Charlie is reportedly to be good friends with Tony Khan, who is the one who actually invited her to a SmackDown show in 2016.
I was going to say, wasn't some weird story about her going with Khan to a WWE event, and it was something. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She met Mark Carano and Michael Cole, who ultimately led to her being hired by World Wrestling Entertainment. She took over for Brandy, who left WWE with her husband, Cody Rhodes. So that would mean that if it follows, she should go to AEW and then she should get pregnant. That's probably what's going to happen.
That's what's up next.
And I would like to volunteer. If anybody would like, if there's any, I'm there for you.
Me too.
The truth is I can't really impregnate anybody anymore. I got that taken care of.
Yes, you sure did.
Yeah, I did. Well,
God bless you.
But Brian's ready, willing, and available, Charlie.
Hey, man.
For all your pregnancy needs.
To lend a helping hand. That's why I'm here.
Somebody saying.
A helping something.
During wrestling, there was a radio. Dave Meltzer beyond the current situation with Charlie Caruso and WWE, saying that he heard they'd already fired her. Other reports say they're going to let her write out her contract and not use her. Charlie and Tony Khan are friends. It was Khan who took her to SmackDown. That could open the door for her in AEW, but nothing is certain at this point. Charlie Caruso, Charlie Arnott is fine on ESPN. Maybe she'd be good in AEW if she ends up in AEW, and I don't know if she will or she won't. She knows Tony Khan, so it's not like she's got to start from scratch. They have so many people in AEW. It's not like – I'll put it this way. I wouldn't run to hire her, but I wouldn't run away from it either. They might not be able to touch her anyway because of the contract situation. I don't know what the contract situation is. Either she's released, she's going to go – be a 90-day non-compete. So, yeah, our next host and our next person that we're going to spotlight on AEW heels, Charlie Arnott. There she is. That thing's dead. Is anybody really doing that? Are they making any money off that at all?
I don't know.
Please, God, tell me they're not. Please tell me they're not making a dime off the stupid AEW heels, which is like one of the dumbest ideas anyway.
Just stop.
Just STAHP. Stop.
Stop.
This was WWE has come to terms on the release of Andrade. We wish him well in all his future endeavors.
Future endeavors.
What do you think that's going to do? Do you think that's going to have him landing in All Elite Wrestling?
I mean, would we not say that about virtually anybody who gets released from WWE?
Anybody. It's so stupid right now. I was watching SmackDown on Friday night, And I was like, did they ever do anything to pay off that whole Otis and Working Man Tucky thing? Did they ever pay that off?
Tucky's just gone.
You talk about a dude that's on a fucking milk carton, right?
He's hanging out with Keith Lee somewhere, apparently.
I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's happening there. I have no idea. But I don't. They never paid off that whole feud or anything, did they?
I don't recall any payoff in that.
He comes to the ring.
He's like he's with Gable and he's a heel now.
That's what I'm saying. They come to the ring. Gable's talking shit to the Mysterios. And he actually ends up calling Rey a shorty, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
Which was weird, right?
Yeah, weird. It was, I guess it's funny, but yeah. That whole shorty thing just still leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Oh,
but
it's
yeah.
horrible. It's horrid. And they act like it never happened. And then they let Dominic get a nice pinfall over the Street Profits. That's got to be the biggest pinfall he's had since he's been in wrestling, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Jesus. And speaking of that, on that same note, what's the whole Buddy Murphy thing? Is he back being a heel again? Is he back with no explanation?
Nobody knows.
I know. Shocker.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
Jeez.
I have no idea what's going on. I don't know.
All this bullshit. And we've not even talked about Braun fucking Strowman's bullshit yet. And you know, it just pisses me off more that AEW pay-per-view that we saw a week or so ago was just didn't live up to what it was supposed to be. And it could have been so good if they really, I don't know. I don't want to say they really tried because I'm sure they tried, but it just wasn't that good. I just wasn't into it, you know? And if it was good, you could just say, God, AEW just got it so going on right now. Just fuck WWE. But you just can't say that. You just can't.
I'd like to, and I find it to me, it's the best program on TV as far as wrestling.
It is.
But it is by default. It's like, it just sucks less than everything else that WWE's putting out, basically.
Right. So, I mean, you know, again, low bar. So
it is. It's like going into the convenience store and going, and you're getting the hot dog and go, oh, this is the best thing to eat in here. Well, yeah, because everything else is shitty. You just get the hot dog. Yeah. And it's okay, but it's not good. I mean, it's
right.
Good. It's a context thing, you know?
Yeah, it's a context thing, exactly. I'm not totally shitting on AEW at all. There's just some kinks I think they need to work out from a fan's point of view, but, you know.
But there's so much shit that they do that's like such needless stuff, and it's so much insider stuff, and it doesn't need to be done. And then they switch people back and forth with the heel thing and all that shit. I was listening to Brian Last talk about it. He's right about Sean Spears. Sean Spears is this guy that like all the boys in the locker room love so much. And they're like, I don't know why this guy's not a huge star. And he's never been over. Not for 5 seconds has that guy been over. He's on his third hairstyle and his third gimmick or whatever in All Elite Wrestling. He was the chairman. He didn't get over with that. He's the Mohawk. And now it's like, oh, let's just throw him into this thing that we've got with the new Four Horsemen with MJF. This will be fine.
But you know what? You got to say this. You got to give him this much credit, okay? In NXT, he had it going on for about that long. He was hot for about a quarter of a second. And
I'll probably go along with you on that.
They pushed him up to the main roster, and it just
there's something that happens there. Can you think? Help me think with it, because I don't have the answer to this. Have they done anything with anybody where they made the transition from NXT to the main roster smoothly? Now you could say that the Shield, they probably did that pretty well. That was probably done correctly, right?
Yeah, that might be it. You may have just nailed who that one and only person or faction was.
I'll say Charlotte and Sasha. Probably they did okay with them.
Yeah, yeah.
They waited. Was,
but neither. But see, as popular and great as they both are, Sasha and Charlotte, it still wasn't like a seamless flow by any stretch.
No, I'll
say they kind of had some kinks to work out.
They waited way too long on. They waited way too long on Bayley. That whole situation was fucked up. The thing with Riddle has been almost a textbook joke as to how they fuck up taking somebody from NXT to the main roster and kill any kind of heat that they had. It's almost, isn't that like the textbook case as far as this guy, you cannot lose with him. All you have to do is put him on your main TV shows and make, and they fucked it up. Right.
Put him on goddamn scooters and shit. You know?
Shit. Take away. He's not Matt Riddle anymore.
Yeah. For God's sake.
I think the transition the Street Profits made from NXT to the main roster was pretty decent. I think they did okay with that.
It wasn't bad.
For a hot minute, it looked like they were going to make Otis do something, and then that turned out to be like not great.
Well, again, they kind of came in like a lamb and kind of grew into a lion kind of thing. You know, they weren't like overly over. You know, when they first came in.
Right.
Tucker and Otis, that is.
I'll say the Shayna Baszler thing is another one where it's like, man, there's no way they can fuck this up. They're going to just do – and for a second she was – and now she's Nia Jax's bitch or her nudge or something. I don't know what she is.
Man, her and Nia Jax both are just jokes right now. They're just –
Honestly, I'm
not talking about their abilities. I'm not talking I'm talking about the way they're booked.
I got to feel like right now Nia Jax is just this cancer that they can't get away from. They can't figure out what to do with her. They can't necessarily even use her to get anybody over. It feels very Big Show-y to me, like where they would try to get Big Show. We don't care. We're just going to use you to get people over. And then they can't really do that with her. And then they just don't know what to do, but they can't get rid of her.
What do you do after that?
I don't know. I don't know how that works out. I'm trying to think of some other ones that they might have managed okay when it comes from transitioning from NXT to the main roster.
Alexa wasn't that bad. I'm trying to remember.
I think they did okay with Mandy. I think they I think they did okay with the Riot Squad. I would have to say they did okay with the Riot Squad.
Yeah. I mean, there was good timing. I think the length of time that they had in NXT for all those people that we said were kind of a seamless flow, I think it was a lot of it due to the fact that they brought them up at the right time. And then once they got up there, they just didn't really fuck them up right as they got there, you know? So it didn't seem as bad as like Bayley. And I'll tell you what, man, I think they're going to fuck around and Adam Cole is going to end up like Bayley if they're not careful.
Yeah, I think they have outthought themselves about 10 ways till Sunday with Adam Cole, and I think they've outthought themselves on it, and I don't think that they know what they want to do with Adam Cole. I have no idea. It feels like Adam Cole is going to be right there with Gargano and Ciampa stuck down there forever, and it's like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, those two also, man. Those two, for sure.
They're just going to be there, and they're just not going to go anywhere, and that's just the way it is, and they kind of – And now it's like the Forbidden Zone. Finn Balor seems like he's stuck in the Forbidden Zone too right now, is what it seems like, right?
I don't know what's going on with that. I just enjoy watching Finn Balor. I've just kind of forgotten the fact that he's been demoted or whatever you want to call it. I still don't know what it is, but I just like Balor. I enjoy him. If he enjoys being on NXT, then fine, you know.
Well, good he can point. Have so many good matches, but after a while, it's like you work with everybody there, and then if you're in that same position where your deal is just to get over new talent.
No, you don't want to do that for him now.
I think they're in a real precarious position, it feels like, with Cameron Grimes. I almost feel like that NXT two-night event could be a big 2 days in the career of Cameron Grimes. I feel like that's going to maybe tell the story on that guy because I feel like he's overcome some bullshit from the beginning. He's in a good spot. He's been able to get this thing over with this Bitcoin, Dogecoin, whatever he's doing now. And there's some humor into it, but he's still kind of a badass. And if they can get him out of this takeover thing strong before WrestleMania, it might help him out a whole lot. But if
I hope so.
If it hits the shitter, it could be not great for him right now.
Dude, I started thinking about him not too long ago and thinking about when he does come up to the main roster, how badly they can fuck him up, man. I'm hoping so hard that he will go over like kind of a, I'm going to say Daniel Bryan, but I know it won't be like that. That's phenomenal.
The template. He needs to work Daniel Bryan really quickly. I think they need to work a program together somehow, some way. And you could do them two or three different pay-per-views, and it would be great. It would be a match that you could always get something out of, and you could tag them with a couple of people. You could tag a Chad Gable with a Cameron Grimes against Daniel Bryan and some other face, and you're going to get great matches. But we're entering a real critical zone in 2021, I think, for Cameron Grimes, because he's got a little momentum to him right now, and now it's going to be like, let's try to get all the chefs into the kitchen to try to we're gonna fix him until he's broke.
Right. And you're right, man. You don't want to be stuck in the mud in NXT because there's nowhere to go after that. I see that, you know, with EC3, you know, that's that he got up to NXT and shit, man. You know, he just kind of folded for the second time, really, absolutely, in his life. But, you know, but there is hope. We do have L.A. Knight, our boy, there to hopefully save the day. So we'll see what happens.
I'm so scared. Like, I love him. I love his look. I can see Vince looking at him and loving his look. But then again, I can see, like, all right, I'm going to call him Knight. He's just Knight. We're not on the ball. No more initials. No, no.
I hope not. I have to say it though, man. I've refrained from saying it, but I'm going to say it. I just don't like that name. It might grow on me at some point, but I'm so used to Eli Drake, and it L.A. Knight is such a made up name. It sounds like shoes. It sounds like a pair of tennis shoes.
It's so dumb. It really is dumb. But I'm
happy, man. I like those L.A. Knights you got there. Those are kicking shits, man.
Some fat L.A. Knights you got there. How much you pay for those? Fat I spent a lot for those. Man, I got these tight L.A. Knights that were customized on eBay the other day. I paid $300 for them. It was great. I'm lucky really scared. Bastard. But he also is a guy that very easily could end up like on that Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania. He could easily be a guy that, like, Vince takes a look at him and goes, "Yeah, give him a shot. Why not?" He could do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got credentials. It's not like he's just came into the business or anything. I mean, god dang, if they can do all this shit with Austin fucking Theory, then surely to goodness they can, you know, boost LA Knight up a little bit. Just.
It's just weird.
Because he's got it, man. He's got the charisma. He's you know.
There's weird shit going on.
He's just so good.
Weird shit. You want to do Fastlane first? You want to do the NWA pay-per-view first?
Let's do the NWA because I'm
back for the attack, Fastlane. Ladies and gentlemen. We were back for the attack. It was a 4 o'clock pay-per-view. As
talking.
Your main event was Aaron the Idol Stevens taking on Nick Aldis for the NWA World Championship. We started the night with Sliced Boogie over Jordan Clearwater, Jax Dane, and Crimson. Solid opening match, it says here on the Wrestling Observer, with the NWA putting over a new face in Sliced Boogie. Not familiar with the Sliced Boogie.
I'm not familiar with the Sliced Boogie myself.
The story of the early parts of this match was that Crimson and Dane used their experience as a tag team to throw Clearwater and Boogie from the ring, but it wasn't long before the other guys were involved again. Boogie, however, was not kept down as Dane and Crimson were left out in the ring arguing with each other. Boogie hit a dead-ass driver on Clearwater for the pinfall victory, so they didn't let Crimson take the victory. Saurinaro was backstage being interviewed by Mae Valentine. He put over the entire card. Tyrus came out and complained he wasn't given any. You're a big fan of Tyrus, are you?
No, aren't. Come on, man. Tyrus?
Yeah, I'm with you. Tyrus defeated Kratos in the first match. This match sucked, writes Josiah. I think that's the guy who's writing.
I didn't see it, but I'm sure it did.
Josiah McDonald was the writer for WrestlingObserver.com. Tyrus worked over there with Kratos throughout the match. Standard big man offense, including classic nerve holds. Tyrus went for a Vader bomb, but it looked terrible, and Kratos moved out of the way. Kratos hit a flying clothesline. Tyrus took an awful bump, falling backwards like a tree. We went to the real meat of the card, the NWA Television Championship on the line. It is the Pope going to a draw with Tom Latimer. He retains that NWA World Championship.
A draw? Okay.
Tom Latimer, of course, the significant other of Camille, who is about to come up here in just a moment, and the ex-husband of Charlotte Flair. Camille,
what?
Yeah, you didn't know this? Brom. That was Thomas Latimer was known as Brom.
Yeah, that was Charlotte. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. They were for a time
what the
married.
Fuck? Kind of. Wow.
Please try to keep up with as the world turns. All right.
Yeah. I know, man. I'm just getting slow in my old fucking age. Can't even talk.
They were married. She's been married. She's been divorced twice. Has Charlotte Ricky Johnson, who I don't know and I don't think was in the business. She married him in 2010 and divorced him in 2013. She would have been 24 at that point. And she married Thomas Latimer in 2013, divorced him in 2015.
How did I not know that?
Weirdness, huh?
Or forgot that. God.
Camille defeats Thunder Rosa. Josiah McDonald writes that Terrell was horrendous commentary. Camille botched a few moves, but it was not a bad match at all. Rosa beat the crap out of Camille in it, and Camille sold like a champ. So Rosa hit a drop kick to the back of Camille. This didn't stop Camille, though. Hit two spears, and she wins. And you believe this now? Was the stipulation that Thunder Rosa, if she loses, has to leave?
I don't know. I just assumed when I was talking to you about it earlier, when you told me, I was just assuming that was, you know, drop the belt and leave. That's usually how it goes, but.
It seems like it, but maybe they'll do something where they continue to cross.
I hate to see her go, though, man. I mean, all these people leaving NWA, man. It's just kind of sad.
Well, I mean, Tony Khan seems to be, you know, hell bent on letting his team kind of work with other promotions that do nothing for AEW. So maybe this will.
Well, you know, it's just God dang, man. Ricky Starks and then the death of question mark and
yeah. Gosh, oh, they did. They had a nice. I did see a nice piece with Aaron the Idol. Steven's talking about question mark. It was really touching.
Oh, I didn't see that. Was it on YouTube or something?
Yeah, I think that is on YouTube. If you look on the NWA channel, they should have it. It was pretty nice. Austin Idol was backstage saying he was here because Aaron Stevens asked him to be here. The announcers openly spoke about how this was strange as he was known to be a supporter of Nick Aldis. I'm kind of glad they're using Austin Idol. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, why not? Shit.
If you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, he owns a pizza place down there. I can't remember what it's called, but he's got a pizza place.
I was
place.
In Greenville, South Carolina about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, geez. I could have told you. You could have stopped by and maybe he would have been there. You could have got an autograph.
I was hungry going through Greenville, too, as a matter of fact. Oh, so that would have been great.
It's such a nice place. It's a great town.
I hit it right about rush hour as well. And the freaking I-85 through there is just horrible. From there to Charlotte. Oh, my God. I don't know when's the last time you've been down that area.
Yeah, that's bad.
God. It's just terrible.
I liked that was big back in the 90s, and the last time I saw them was at the arena there in Greenville, South Carolina, which at that time was called Bon Secours. And it may be still, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Formerly the Bilo Center, by the way.
The Bilo Center. I was trying to think of the name of the one I knew down there.
Formerly the Bilo Center. Yeah. NWA National Championship on the line, and Trevor Murdoch does defeat Chris Adonis, the former Chris Masters, to retain that title.
Chris Masters.
The master lock.
Whatever.
Murdoch.
The master. Yeah, he was cool back in the day, but
I believe that's one of the wrestlers that Sonny cops to having sex with. It's Chris Masters.
Was he not copping to it? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
you said that she cops to it, but he doesn't.
Oh, I think he would, but I think there's more than the ones that she cops to were like, obviously, Candido, Shawn Michaels, I think Dolph, and him. I don't think she cops to any other ones.
Do we know about any other ones? For certain? We know there are more. We know, we're about 100% sure there's more, but we just don't know who, or do we?
Hang on a second. The one that I heard about was Hack Myers. I heard she was banging Hack Myers one day. And like either Sandman or somebody woke up and saw him or something like that. And then apparently she may have been blowing some Sabu like one time backstage or something.
No, really? Okay.
I have to feel like she banged more than one guy in ECW. And by the way, why are you fucking Hack Myers?
Why would you say that?
Why wouldn't you just go ahead and fuck Shane Douglas or something like that? Or maybe even Rob Van Dam or somebody. I don't understand.
Brian Pillman. No, he was married.
Which I don't think was – I think marriage was more – instead of a vow, it was more of a suggestion for him.
You think? Was it? I thought,
I don't know.
We'll find out in Dark Side of the Ring, I guess.
We'll find out. It's going to be interesting to find out. Murdoch showed some sportsmanship, offered a handshake. Adonis accepted. But then attacked Murdoch from behind.
He did accept it,
but then he attacked Murdoch from behind and started choking him. Adonis locked on the master lock, hit the full Nelson slam before locking it on again in a camel clutch position as the referees attempted to break it up. There you go. Austin Idol was on. By the way, speaking of Pillman, I think Junior got some good news. I think FTR is going to be wrestling the Hollywood Blondes on this week's edition of All Elite Wrestling Dynamite. Am I right about that?
You are correct, sir.
Is FTR's...
It's like a three-on-three match, I think.
Oh, yeah, because I think Sean Spears is going to be worked in there. Fuck.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Why? You tag-along bitch. Why?
That is the definition, in this case, of a tag-along.
Oh, it's such a tag-along.
It's Nobody a tag match with along with there.
Can you guys
get along?
Can you guys
Sean Spears is the along in this match.
Big time. Nobody wants to see that fucker. Austin Idol was in commentary. What's that?
So Peyton Royce has disappeared too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay.
It's weird. Like, Sonya Deville is back and seems to be just like getting everything that she wants, right? And which is fine. Yeah. And I'm cool with it. She's a great talent and she should be kicking ass and taking names. But I don't know why Peyton Royce is gone. I don't know.
Yeah.
Austin Idol was on commentary talking about how Aaron the Idol Stevens asked him to coach him for his match. You know, I was thinking about that. You know who Aaron the Idol Stevens was managed by in Louisville, right? A former guest on the Katie Vick's Alive show.
No, really?
Kenneth the Starmaker Bolin.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Remember the great appearance that he made on our show? Huh.
Yeah. You mean that was his show. It wasn't our show.
It was our show. It was on camera.
Yeah, I know, but it was his show.
Well, I had to cut him off at the end.
It was his show. Okay.
What really upset him was he goes, hey, is this going out live? And I go, no, it's a podcast. He goes, fuck you. I invented podcast. Like he thought I was being a real smart ass to him, which I kind of was.
What the fuck? This set him off. Fuck you.
You know, eventually that asshole eventually started aligning himself with the Russo camp against Jimmy Cornette. Like,
I thought that was work, but it wasn't.
Like, yeah, no, it was real. And Bolin, well, I think they worked himself into a shoot. Bolin fucking. Bolin being lifelong friends with Jimmy Cornette, he starts aligning himself and being sympathetic with Vince Russo, which is like, stop it.
I never believed that. It may have been legit, but it just didn't seem true. It just seemed too fucking foolish.
Bro, Brian Last, for that brief period of time when he had the Kenny Starmaker Bolin podcast, was on there talking about how, like, he said, you know, those threats that Jim makes against fucking Russo, they're not real. And Kenny goes, well, I just know Jimmy in a different way than you do there, Brian. Oh, fuck you. Yeah, tell me the other death threats that Jim Cornette has gone through. Because I know about 90 of them that he's issued. And Wade Keller is still breathing the same air as me. And Bruce Mitchell is still breathing the same air as me. And a ton of other people who, I'm going to kill you. And, you know, Milan Miracle is still breathing the same miracle, you know, the same air as everybody else. And those dipshits. I'm trying to think of who else it would be. One of the KC from the front row, section five, whatever. He's still walking around and shit. He's still breathing air.
Yeah.
Tim Horner isn't dead yet, right? As far as we know.
Tim Horner.
Jeez, you can go through the list of death threats that this guy's issued, and none of them have ever been anything.
Tim Horner.
God almighty. Kyle Davis led the show a 10-bell salute for people involved in the wrestling business that passed away, James Hudson, Buddy Colt, and James Crockett Jr. And then we go to the NWA World Heavyweight Championship event. Nick Aldis, your champion, retains his title by defeating Aaron the Idol Stevens. Josiah says it's a very solid main event from Aldis and Stevens. Both men tried their best to honor their lost friend, the question mark. And the finish is Stevens going for another arm breaker on Aldis. Aldis blocked it and cradled Stevens for the pinfall. Stevens fell into the corner weeping, using a question mark mask. Aldis told Stevens to stand up like a man. They shook hands to cheers from the people. The fans chanted, "Thank you, Joseph." As the roster came out, they posed with the flag of Monrovia. This was super emotional. The show went off the air with Steven saying, "That one was for you, Sensei." Wow.
Dang, that's pretty cool. So they did, I was going to ask, so they did have an audience there of some kind, right?
Yeah. It's amazing to me when you get some, you know, sincere emotion in wrestling, how people react to that and stuff. And that sounds very sincere and very authentic to me. So
that's cool. Yeah. That's the thing about wrestling fans. When, you know, anytime a wrestler dies in any sort of way, you know, however they die, you know, they're always very sympathetic about the whole thing. Of course, there's probably going to be a few assholes, but I think by and large, everybody reacts very well to the death of a wrestler. As you know, for wrestling fans to get the shit they get, I think. When wrestlers die like that, I think that it shows, you know, the greatness in wrestling fans.
Well, you know, that's where our friend got into a little trouble late last year.
Well,
that's where our buddy got into a little trouble. Still considered to be a pariah among some people, although I think a few of them are starting to see the light when you see these fucking spring break pictures you're seeing from Florida right now, right?
Jesus, man.
I don't. That is a giant middle finger. Fuck you to every doctor, every nurse, every hospital. All of this bullshit we've been through for a year now. Oh God, we just love the healthcare workers so much. We just love them. And you go out there and you cough on each other, and you just bang each other, and you stack bodies on top of bodies all over Disney World, all over South Beach. And now apparently at WrestleMania, it's a giant fuck you to those people. That's what it is.
Dang. Yes, it is. It's a giant fuck you to everybody, especially them.
It's unbelievable. But
you just get to a point where you're just speechless. You don't know what else to say about shit. It's been this long, and people still are doing shit like that. What else can you do, dude?
I've been double vaccinated. I'm good. I'm not 14 days out yet. I'm about 10 days out, so I would be good. And you don't see me walking into grocery stores going, no, I'm not wearing your mask, Nazi. I'm good. Here's my card. I don't do that because that's what it is.
That's because you're a good human being.
I have some of the emotions and some of the sensibilities of a human. You know?
Dude, I have to sit and have a mask on for hours on end, talking into a microphone with headsets on.
Yes.
I'm not bitching.
As did I up until last week. They changed it after, and I was pretty socially distanced from people, but you had to wear the mask. And when I'm not at my work position, I have to wear the thing, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine because I don't want to kill people. I happen to like the people I work with. Some of them I love. Some of them are single parents. Some of them are parents with small children. I don't want those people to die. I don't want to be like the guy that orphans people.
You would think – that's what I'm saying, man. You would think after this long, after it's been drilled in your head for so long, and it's still just doing, bouncing off, doing.
It doesn't matter.
There's no getting to these people. There's no getting to these people. Zero. None.
The final word that Josiah writes about the NWA show was, "This show was not as good as NWA's previous offerings, but it's truly great to have them back, as there is absolutely a place for a product like the NWA in the 2021 wrestling landscape." I think that makes a lot of sense because this is the first time they've done anything in a year. And they haven't had a chance to work out the kinks or anything. And so these people haven't been working the whole time. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. I'm definitely not. I kind of wanted to watch it. I kind of forgot about it, too, that it was this past weekend. So, but, yeah, I totally agree with what he said there.
The throwback to the 80s is a really good nostalgia kick, but at the same time, it's a good platform to help younger wrestlers develop their characters while giving veterans a good chance to show they still have something to offer. The show was mostly fine in the ring, but again, not as strong as previous shows. However, the tribute they did for Joseph Hudson was really something special. The in-ring wasn't really what mattered on the show, as important as it usually is. The key was that this was a chance for the NWA crew to honor and mourn their lost friend and someone who brought back a lot of life to the NWA product. I'm excited to see what's next for NWA Power. Now that they're going to be on Fight every week, hopefully they can rebuild from the talent they lost and continue to produce quality old-school wrestling. I agree, and I hope they continue to be supported by people. I hope that Billy continues to put the energy into it that he did, and I hope that they find their niche, because I think there is a place for them. And, hey, you and I were already talking about going to WrestleMania next year in Dallas, and, my God, it would be so much fun to go to an NWA show down in Dallas next year.
Oh, my God, yes. In a heartbeat, dude. And let's not forget, man, I don't want to under – I don't know. I don't want to. I don't want to go on without saying how much question mark was, how much he meant to that. Because I think that's an underrated kind of thing. Because I think people kind of forget how popular that dude was, man.
Yeah.
He could have very well been the most popular guy on there, fan. You know, just like a, you know, Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant type guy, you know, or something. Just the fans go crazy over.
The fans put that guy over in a heartbeat.
Oh, my amazing. God, yeah. And that was a huge loss, man. That was a huge loss.
It was a big deal. And it got a little bit overshadowed with the John Huber thing and the Brody Lee thing, because people were – and it kind of – because that was such a huge loss. And it's very tragic, and I'm not going to put – you know, this one's an 8, this one's a 7. I'm not going to do that, because both of them are tragic. But they both had families, and Brody Lee obviously had small children and stuff like that. And we've explored that and thought AEW did a great job. But everyone seemed to be so focused on that one, and that promotion is much bigger than WA is. So a lot of people were not kind of flew under the radar. But that was a big loss for NWA, for sure.
Yeah, it's sad. It was a loss, a sad loss. It was just horrible, man. And more I thought about it, and more I'm thinking about it now, it's like, God, he was really hot, man. He was probably the hottest thing on there. Really,
he was poised to do some. He was the kind of guy you could really, well, you need in a promotion so much, you know. You need that guy.
Yeah.
You could plug him into a variety of spots and stuff, and he could just kick ass for you.
And the thing about it is, yeah, and that makes him that much better, because you don't expect somebody like that, first of all, to go over as well as they did, and then to be as versatile as he is. So, and then apparently, you know, all the boys and girls loved him. So, I mean, he just had it all going on, man, and it's really horrible.
Let's talk about Fastlane as WWE prepares for WrestleMania. The pre-show match was Riddle defeating Mustafa Ali with Retribution to retain the title. Has there been a more feckless, weak, and awful faction ever formed than Retribution?
That was – dude. Let's just talk this out for a second. Think about when they came in, okay? Yeah. About a year ago, maybe?
Right.
They came in. Nobody knew who they were. They're just – blow it
turning
up
the lights
shit
off and shit. They're towing the turning lights off everything,
cutting power cords outside and setting bombs off, and you know, all this crazy. It's like the next coming of the Shield or something, you know. And boy, did that flop like a goddamn fish on the fucking sand.
Have they won anything? Has anybody in that group ever won a match? I can't even think of a single time they
ever won. I don't think they have.
I can't think of a single time, which is like something you need for them to do. You need for those to do something.
But yet it falls right into that famous category of people they brought up from NXT who they just fucked royally, basically. Welcome to the main roster. You're done.
Well, it looked like Mustafa really had some momentum coming in for about a half a second, and they ricocheted him. They ricocheted that motherfucker, right?
Well... But see, I think the problem with that was with Mustafa,
they didn't build him up into a great baby face before he turned heel. They should have made him like an Otis type guy where everybody loved him. And then he turns heel, you know, and does this. I mean, he was like a mid-carder who turned heel. Big deal. You know, that's the way I looked at it.
The WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defeated Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Belair distracting Sasha so she gets rolled up on that one. And then there's some discussion afterwards, and Sasha ends up slapping Bianca, setting up their match for WrestleMania.
Pretty much what we thought would happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, the reluctant tag team is fine, and those two work together. There's some good chemistry between the two of them.
Oh, yeah.
Bianca Belair has the kind of momentum that Trinity had going into Orlando. I think she's fine. I don't know if she's ready to take the championship or anything like that, but I think they've got some pretty natural chemistry. They're going to work well together.
Oh, definitely.
It's a good WrestleMania match. I mean, that would be something.
And by the way, Sasha, God, bless America. You look great tonight.
Fantastic. She's on fire. Intercontinental Champion Big E against Apollo Crews, who has developed that great Nigerian accent. Aren't you enjoying that all of a sudden out of nowhere, right?
Is Kofi been teaching him on the how to do accents and
it's
stuff?
It's backwards. Like, no, it's like it went backwards because Kofi was Jamaican.
Kofi went Jamaican to American. And
Crews is like just a regular flat Midwestern accent. Then all of a sudden he's Nigerian. He's decided, okay.
With a Chris Jericho scarf.
I guess. I don't know what's going on there, but he's got it. Big E defeats Apollo Crews to retain the title. After the match, Crews attacked Big E, hit a series of angle slams. I don't know where that leaves us. In the back, Joseph Average was selling Old Spice when Tozawa approached. Those things are not funny. Those vignettes are not funny. They're not working. They're not over. Oh, it is. It really is. Braun Strowman defeating Elias with Jackson Ryker. You have something to say about Braun Strowman?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put my water down for this.
Good. I want to hear this. I want to relax and hear this.
I saw somebody put up on it, and I didn't think about it really hard until I saw this on I think it was Instagram. Somebody put up a shot of Britt Baker with blood coming down her face, you know, from her match with Thunder Rosa, and underneath it was Strowman with slime on him. And the caption was something to the effect of, here's the direction both of these companies are going. And it's like, it's so true. Here's Braun Strowman with slime and Britt Baker with the girl, nonetheless, the female with blood on her face with, you know, going through that pretty cool match with Thunder Rosa. And here's big badass Braun with fucking Nickelodeon slime on him.
They're pretty close. I think they're pretty close to putting a women's event on as the main event in AEW. And for all the pitfalls they've had with that women's division, I don't know if people have heard, Dave Meltzer has given that the highest rating any North American women's match has ever gotten. It's 4.75 stars for that thing on Wednesday night. For all the pitfalls and all the misstarts and all the bullshit, they've got a couple of good things going on. I would say, in addition to Britt Baker, sometimes despite herself getting over, I would say Jade Cargill looks like $1 million. That looks like money. I mean, honest to God, you can call her the next coming of China. You can call her whatever you want to, but that woman looks like money right now.
And she's got personality to boot. So
she does.
Yeah, I'm definitely impressed with her for sure.
Don't let her go on the mic for too long.
No.
Still.
No.
Her look is good. She works really well, and she can make some money right now.
She's good. I like her.
If they don't fuck that thing up, so amazingly.
But this whole Braun Strowman thing, it's like he is doing. They're doing to him what they're doing to pretty much everybody else. You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line. But it's like they just. Get these people, they don't know what to fucking do with them. And you're looking at somebody like Strowman going, holy shit, the things you can do with this guy. I mean, and you've gone from having him bench press and lift every heavy thing known to mankind and flip over known to mankind to getting slimed by fucking Shane McMahon or whatever. You know, it's just ridiculous, man. I'm just tired of that shit.
Shane McMahon, the angle tonight with Shane McMahon hurt himself training and he wasn't able to perform That was like the thing.
We should have known that was coming. We should have known they were going to do that for Fastlane. They were going to save that for fucking WrestleMania.
And I saw Elias approaching him backstage and trying to get something going to like some sort of performance at Wrestle. It's so tired. It's so nobody wants to have anything to do with that.
Elias is a joke now too, man.
Big time. They recapped Retribution turning on Mustafa Ali during the pre-show. What does Ali have to worry about? Mustafa, I mean, the Retribution can't do shit. He should be happy. I mean, if I had anybody turning on me, it would want to be that bunch of clowns.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
They're not going to do anything to you. They're going to try to hit you and miss. So you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, he's good for Mustafa. So does this mean he's a baby face again?
I reckon. I guess what we're back to. Chicago cop Mustafa, I guess is what we're doing again. I don't know.
Yeah. Chicago cop, yeah.
Well, that's what he was.
They played that up for about a minute. But
when they naturally babyfaced him in the beginning, and then all of a sudden he's the head of Retribution, which is, again, the most useless faction. I swear to God, they are so fucking useless. They are the nation of getting – they're the nation of getting dominated is what they are.
Yes. Yeah, Ron Simmons, that deserves a big damn.
In the back, Riddle was riding around in his scooter. He approached Shinsuke and wished him luck in his match later. Riddle told the story, but Nakamura hid until Riddle walked away. Seth Rollins over Shinsuke. What are we trying to do with Seth Rollins? We're trying to get him back in after paternity leave? I don't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on, and nobody cares.
I don't know. That's another one they don't know what to do with.
No holds barred. Drew McIntyre defeating Sheamus.
I like that match, actually.
That's probably the best match of the night. Alexa Bliss.
It really didn't mean anything, but I liked it.
Alexa Bliss over Randall K. Orton, and it was the return of the Fiend. There you go.
Can I tell you my favorite part about that match?
What was it? When it was over?
It's probably Randy Orton's favorite part of that match, when she straddles him for the pin.
Yeah. I mean, how are you going to not take the pin on that?
Man, oh, man, oh, man.
I'd take the pin on that all day. Sign me up for the job. I'll sign me up for the job. I'm on the job squad, pal.
Knock me out through spit fire in my face, whatever you want to do.
Suddenly the Fiend came through a hole in the ring. Flames came out of the hole, and then the Fiend emerged. The Fiend's mask is melted and deformed looking because Orton set him on fire. They set him on fire at TLC. So this is the kayfabe that they go with, is that Orton backed off, but Bliss pushed him into the Fiend. The Fiend hit Sister Abigail, and then Bliss covered Randall K. Orton for the win. And that,
but you know, but Randy's face looks fine from that fireball and stuff. You know, he recovered fine.
Yeah, he did okay. Well, you know what you should do if you get burned by a fireball is you should put a wrestling mask on, because that's going to feel pretty good next to the scabs and the scars and the blisters.
Yeah, right. Right. A fireball. And I hear by the next week you don't have to wear it.
Oh no, it's got magical Lucha Libre healing powers. Universal Champion Roman Reigns defeats Paul Heyman with Daniel Bryan to retain the title. This featured a lot of interference, not only from Jey Uso, but also from Edge. Edge ends up pounding both of them, and it looks like we're all set for a three-way at WrestleMania, I guess, is what we're doing. I don't know.
Honest to God, did we not see that come? Excuse me, did we not see that coming? I mean,
You know, and I'll tell you this, as much as I hate Corey Graves, I thought Corey Graves announcing wasn't awful tonight. I thought during that match in particular, he was commenting on how Paul Heyman looked just horrified. And Corey Graves, it's because Paul Heyman's world's about to go right in the shitter, you know, basically.
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I had the sound down, but that's good to hear. Because there was a point in time I liked Corey Graves.
I don't like him at all, and I'm not inclined to like him. But I thought tonight he was not terrible. The announcing wasn't bad. So, you think there's any chance the NWA ever tries to bring Cornette back?
I don't think it'll be anytime soon.
I mean, don't you think he's? I mean, I'm not defending the joke, but don't you think maybe he served his penance? Don't you think a year's time? And I don't even know if he wants to go back or if he would do it.
He wouldn't. I don't think he'd go back.
I think he's done, as it turns out.
Hasn't he not said he wouldn't go back?
I don't know if he said that specifically, but it's his ass is very comfortable sitting in Castle Cornet up in Louisville.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or Elizabethtown or wherever the fuck it is, Jeffersonville. I don't know where. I'm not sure. But wherever he lives, it takes a lot of money and a lot of the exact right situation to get him out of that chair. And most of the time, they're able to do whatever they need to do with him, either for the network or for Dark Side of the Ring by coming right to his house. And he's more than happy to just stay there and let him do it.
Well, here's something I was thinking about too, man. I don't know how set he is. You know, obviously, I don't know his financial situation.
I think he's okay.
So he's all right. So you're okay. So I guess my question was: so you're saying if he does, I guess my point is. Let me just say it like this. My point is, since all the chicken joke and all that shit, you know, his popularity has gone down. I'm guessing.
Among a certain
wouldn't his revenue go down from people not buying his shit anymore? And
allegedly, I mean, you know, but again, to hear him tell it, he doesn't even feel like keeping the entire store open most of the time because he's selling so much shit. So I think he's fine.
Okay. Well,
I think if
I haven't listened to him lately, so I didn't know how he stood right now, merchandise wise.
That's the story he tells. He might be working me. I don't know. It might be a work brother. I feel like if everything kind of goes, I don't really feel like he needs to work again or anything like that. I think he's okay with the stuff that he inherited from his mom, and then, you know, he's got the house I'm pretty much paid for, and with all the money that he's made over the years, and I don't obviously.
Did his wife get a bunch of stuff?
I think his wife. I think she did, and then. They were talking a couple of weeks ago on that podcast about there was some ruling in Great Britain or something, or maybe even here, where it was Bill Nye the Science Guy, and he got a ruling against, I think, Discovery Plus because they weren't paying him any royalties or anything. And the judge ruled that that streaming was the next natural evolution of videotapes and DVDs and stuff like that. So obviously the talents for the WWE Network in whatever iteration it's going to be going forward, those people are not getting the royalty checks like they used to get from the DVDs and the VHS tapes. But if they could get some sort of court ruling, then they might be able to get a little bit bigger piece of the pie. I don't know.
Well, I hope so, man.
I hope so too. It's, you know, they made all this damn money from this deal with Peacock, and I haven't heard anything about how Peacock acted tonight, because the WWE Network is going to still be in effect right.
I watched it on Peacock.
Did you watch it? And everything was fine.
I didn't see a difference at all.
What do they have as far as content on Peacock right now? Have you browsed around?
I haven't been on there lately, but it's
as far as the WWE stuff that's migrated.
I haven't been on there at all for the WWE stuff.
So there's a lot of questions about when everything's coming over, and they think maybe by SummerSlam they'll be able to have all the stuff that's on the network now over there. The network is going to continue on, as I understand it, up until WrestleMania, and then you'll have to watch WrestleMania those two nights for sure on Peacock. I don't know if NXT
is like a trial run maybe for WrestleMania,
a soft
maybe.
Opening or something like that.
Yeah.
It's what they're trying to do. So,
I'm a little bit behind too. So, is the network even going to exist after WrestleMania?
I think they shut it down. I think that's it. Yeah, I think that app becomes a dead app, and it's not, and everything has to be accessed over on Peacock. Yeah.
Wow, man.
That's the deal. That's what they've got. They made a lot of money off of that, and then eventually, I don't know if Vince is going to have the option to try to kick up what he was planning before the world got shut down by selling off some of those bigger events on pay-per-view like SummerSlam and Survivor Series and WrestleMania. I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to be happening going forward, or if Peacock said, no, we want to keep those over here because we want all that money to migrate here. I don't know. I'm not sure how that's going to go.
I don't know
what the incentive is for them to try to create more original programming like they were on WWE Network. I don't know how that's going to work or any of that stuff. I don't know.
It doesn't sound promising for original stuff.
It doesn't. I'm not sure how that's going to work at all. Another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive. Well done, Bryant. Any closing thoughts for you?
No, sir. I miss Keith Lee. That's about it.
Keith Lee. Bryant can be followed on the Instagram and also on Twitter at Bry Sports, BrySports. He's also on TikTok, Stanley Jackson 23. That's how you do it. I'm on the old ticker talker. The show itself can be followed at Katie Vick Alive on Twitter, and we would love to have you follow us there. I am at Brett Whitmire on Twitter. University of Houston is what he's showing right now. Brian is showing to all of us as the Cougars do advance to the Sweet 16. Very, very nice. But that also puts him in the same league as Oral Roberts, which is weird. Very odd. Very, very strange.
If you're anybody who's in a league with Oral Roberts is a little weird.
My grandmother used to watch that show, and all I remember about that show was he was very sincere and all this shit. And then I think his theme song was "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world," or something like that. They would sing that.
Oh, nice!
That crazy ass shit. Yeah. At Brent Whitmire on Twitter, at BW4Reels, BDUB4RELZ on Instagram. And if you want to support what we do, you can shop at our Amazon store. That is katievick.com.
And that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.